Hi, this is Brendan Monk. You're currently listening to WGXC Acro, 90.7 FM, coming to you from Hudson, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we hear from Howie Hawkins, the Green Party nominee for New York governor, discussing how the Democrats have tried to keep the Green Party off the ballot. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Makers Syndicate, and the radio news that mobile phone services are increasing their fees now that they have less competition. All this and more starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This
is the
news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
After the recent murders of many African-American grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, the March for Our Lives group is organizing protest marches all over the country on Saturday, June 11th. There are two, at least, scheduled so far locally, one in Albany and one in Saugerties, both stepping off at 10:30 a.m. There's more information on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and we'll add other local marches as they are added to the national map.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you can's. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Patricia Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that two Democratic Ulster County legislators are calling for Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan to resign, alleging that he is doing county residents a disservice by dividing his time between county business and his campaign for Congress. In a June 9th press release, legislators James Maloney and Laura Petit questioned Ryan's ability to effectively run the county while actively campaigning in two separate congressional races. Petit said in the release, quote, "The current situation for Ulster County government does not look good. It seems that the sixth floor of the county office building has gone dark. No one is doing anything for county government at the moment," unquote. Maloney, who was reelected to the legislature in 2019, said, quote, "There are too many things on the line right now to have an executive that is only half in it. There are things going on right now that we demand answers to, real solid answers," unquote. The two said that while they have no objection to any elected official running for higher office, they think allegiances are split when an elected official tries to do both. Quote, I think it is impossible to do your current job effectively while running for another office, unquote, said Petit. Maloney said Ryan's decision-making could be clouded by the larger political climate. He also questioned whether anyone in the administration was working on Ryan's campaign on the taxpayers' dime. In a statement sent to their Freeman late on June 9th, Ryan said, quote, in the last month alone, we have returned desperately needed mental health beds to our county, closed a transformational deal to revitalize the former IBM site, broken ground on our veteran cemetery expansion, and much more. From my very first day in office, I've worked nonstop for the people of Ulster County, and nothing will change that, unquote. Ryan, a Democrat from Gardiner, is running in an August 23rd special election against Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro to fill the 19th congressional district vacancy created when Antonio Delgado was appointed to serve as lieutenant governor. Ryan is also running in the November 8th general election for the seat in the newly created 18th congressional district. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
As Congress begins public hearings on the attempted coup of January 6, 2021, here in the Hudson Valley, several local politicians either went to Washington, D.C. that day, cheered those attending, and continued to embrace the lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. Liz Joy, the Republican again running against Representative Paul Tonko in New York's 20th Congressional District, tweeted the day before that she was attending the D.C. riot and tweeted during the disturbance that, and I quote, hundreds of thousands of people attended today's rally to stand for election integrity. Joy said that if she had been in office on January 6, 2021, she would have voted against certifying the election. Joy said, and I quote, Joe Biden is the president, period. But I do believe there was massive voter fraud in our 2020 election, and we have to get it right before we have the 2022 election. Representative Elise Stefanik from New York's 21st District, which will include Rensselaer County next year, continues to support the coup and overturning a fair and free election even after the violence. She posted on Twitter after the riot that, and I quote, Americans have a constitutional right to protest and freedom of speech, but violence in any form is absolutely unacceptable and anti-American, end quote. But Stefanik's senior advisor, Alex DeGrasse, retweeted a message during the riot claiming the rioters were undercover leftists without any evidence. Farther south, Mid-Hudson News reported that State Assembly member Colin Schmidt, a New Windsor Republican, was photographed the morning of January 6, speaking maskless to a busload of people departing for the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Schmidt is running for the 18th congressional seat this year. But before the photo of Schmidt talking to a busload of people en route to Washington, he issued a statement saying, and I quote, I am deeply disturbed by the assault on the United States Capitol today. There is absolutely no justification for any form of violence against the pillars of our democracy.
Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the town of Catskill may soon approve a new 15-year agreement with Mid-Hudson Cablevision. As part of the proposed contract, the town will continue to receive a franchise fee of 3% of the gross revenue received by Mid-Hudson Cablevision from recurring cable television subscriptions. The board held an initial public hearing on the agreement on May 3rd, but left the hearing open. Company representatives were invited to appear at a second public hearing on June 7th. Finch said during the second hearing that the town received $60,300 last year between its contracts with Mid-Hudson Cable and Spectrum. Former Catskill Town Supervisor Joseph Izzo asked the board what would happen if the town declined to enter into a new 15-year agreement with Mid-Hudson. In response, town board member Jared Giordana said the town would continue to collect a 3% franchise fee from Spectrum. Rachel Puckett of Mid-Hudson Cablevision said the company has 860 cable TV subscribers in the town, with 2,237 customers receiving internet service from the cable company. She said the franchise fee applies only towards the cost of the actual cable. Puckett said the New York State Public Service Commission recommends a 15-year term for cable agreements with municipalities. Catskill resident William Hawthorne asked the board if it was possible to negotiate a shorter deal with Mid-Hudson. He also raised the possibility of increasing the 3% franchise rate the town receives from the company. Quote, I think the town should get a better cut on their costs, unquote, he told the board. Quote, I think we should increase the revenue for the town, unquote. The board closed the public hearing and could take action on the proposed cable agreement at the board's workshop meeting June 15th or its next regular meeting on July 5th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that Quinny's New York, a restaurant on Route 66 in Columbia County, announced June 7th that it will no longer use Martin's brand potato rolls because the company's executive chair and former president, Jim Martin, backs Doug Mastriano, the Republican nominee for governor of Pennsylvania. Mastriano was subpoenaed for his involvement in the January 6, 2021 attempted coup in Washington, D.C. Martin donated $110,000 to Mastriano's campaign last year. According to the Hudson-based restaurant Quinny's in an Instagram post on Tuesday, and I quote, Doug Mastriano is an open anti-Semitic election fraud conspirator, anti-abortion racist, homophobic, who attended the insurrection on January 6th. We don't want to take part in the support of something we so strongly disagree with, end quote. The Shake Shack restaurant chain also uses Martin's brand potato rolls, and the company released a statement this week that they are in conversation with the company about its ties to Mastriano. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Ravenna Queeman Selkirk School District June 8th notified parents about a threat allegedly made by a local student on social media. The threat was made against a particular list of students at the high school, District Superintendent Brian Bailey said in a statement on the district's website. Quote, this threat was shared over social media and included a threat of harm to a specific list of students, unquote, Bailey said. Quote, the Albany County Sheriff's Office is actively involved, has continued investigating, and is taking proper action, unquote. The district did not disclose the nature of the threat or the name of the student accused of making the threat, and the students targeted were not identified. All families involved were contacted by the district, according to Bailey, and the district has taken, quote, appropriate disciplinary action, unquote. Bailey said the sheriff's office has a consistent presence in all district schools, including school resource officers and regular patrols of the campus and community. Quote, all RCS schools have secure entrances, exterior doors are locked, and students and staff perform training and safety drills throughout the year, unquote, he said. Bailey urged students and the community to report any threats or suspicious activity to a trusted adult administration or law enforcement official. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Luke Posh now reports for New York State of Politics that three New York Republicans voted June 8th for a bill that would raise the age for certain gun purchases from 18 to 21. But only two Hudson Valley Democrats, not three, voted for the bill. Republican Representatives Chris Jacobs of Western New York and John Katko of Central New York and Nicole Militakis of Staten Island voted for the bill, as did Democrats Paul Tonko and Sean Maloney from Hudson Valley districts. But Antonio Delgado did not vote for the bill, as he has resigned his congressional office to become New York's lieutenant governor. No vote on a bill from New York's 19th congressional district was cast, as voters there have no say in Washington until after an August 23rd special election to fill the seat. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro takes on Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan then to decide who will vote in that seat until November, when a different election will decide who votes there for the next 2 years. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. Mostly cloudy Friday night with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And on Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms also possible after 5 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 71 degrees. And Saturday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, June 10th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Agogo Show. This week featuring works from Jerry Gonzalez, Kiko Villamizar, and Fanfare Kiosaria. The Sugar Shack Jukebox follows at noon after the local news with Jared Wigashud and all sorts of reggae, hip-hop, rock, pop, soul, and more. At 2 p.m. it's time for the Data Cult Audio Show, and at 4 p.m. we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 6 p.m. we're live from Catskill on Main Street, where Clubhouse Radio takes place, and local teens talk about their stories and share their songs on the radio at 90.7 FM. Deans from Hudson are on at 7 p.m. on the Bound by Books show, talking about what they've been reading. You can hear Georgia Jassy, Jada Pernetti, Fada Jeanette, Mashuda Sultana, and Amelia Ortez, among others, on that show. And at 8 p.m. it's time for the local music show Hudson Valley Sounds, until 10 when Shavar Thomas takes over live from Hudson with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Nick Lowe and Los Straitjackets perform June 15th at Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Find out more about the Nick Lowe Los Straitjackets show on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. It's at 8 p.m. on June 15th at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@wgxc.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@wgxc.org. For more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 10th. Early this morning, temperatures range from 50 degrees in Courtright Center to 56 in West Athens. Soil temperature has creeped down to 61 degrees. A nice day is in store for the listening area. Most of the day will be in comfortable territory with a cool morning and dew points in the low 50s all day. A high of 76 happens at 3 p.m. Some wind gusts will also be seen around that time. Overnight temperatures fall to 55 degrees, then bounce back up to 75 by 2 p.m. on Saturday. A little afternoon rain ends near dark. Overnight will be dry with a low of 58. Sunday is looking wet with rain chances all day. Some possible thunder in the afternoon. A high of 73 happens at 4 p.m. And Monday will have some of that lingering rain and a high of 81. Pollen levels for today will be medium high with grasses overtaking trees as the top allergen. Conditions will be medium on Saturday and hopefully low on Sunday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:33 a.m., high tide at 11:41 a.m., then low tide once again at 6:43 p.m. This weekend's experimental sandbar times are today at 5:40 p.m., Saturday at 6:20 a.m. and 6:15 p.m., and on Sunday at 7:30 a.m. and at 7:30 p.m. Times are, I remind you, experimental. Send any feedback to weather at wgxe.org. Over the weekend, keep in mind those tidal currents will be strong. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:15 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see some possible C-class solar flares today, and early next week, a plasma stream should bring some minor geomagnetic unrest. Solar wind speed is currently 303 kilometers per second at 5.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 17, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Anderson of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music picks and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
My people. What can I say? Say it with a can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up!
him. Understand me, sugar. Since we got to be here, let's live. I love you. There's nothing wrong with me loving you, baby, no, no.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Democrats refuse to work with us on legislation that would actually do something, that would actually reduce the rate of gun violence in this country.
Republican Louisiana Representative Mike Johnson spoke Thursday on the House floor. House lawmakers approved national red flag legislation aimed to reduce gun violence in the wake of mass shootings in Uvalde, Texas, Buffalo, New York, and elsewhere. A majority of U.S. adults say it's more important to control gun violence than to protect gun rights, according to a poll released yesterday by NPR, PBS, NewsHour, and Marist. More than half of gun owners surveyed agreed with that sentiment. After months of closed-door investigations, the House January 6 committee held its first hearing with public testimony about what transpired and why during the assault on the U.S. Capitol. Democratic Mississippi Senator Benny Thompson on the country's legacy of slavery, the Ku Klux Klan, lynching, and the events at the Capitol.
I'm reminded of that dark history as I hear voices today try and justify the actions of the insurrectionists.
Wyoming President, Republican Representative, and Vice Chair of the Committee Liz Cheney addressed former President Trump's response to calls for violence.
And aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment, quote, maybe our supporters have the right idea.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and other Republican leaders criticized the January 6 committee's primetime TV hearing, calling it political gamesmanship.
Now, let's be very clear. The violence at the Capitol that day was wrong, and we have repeatedly denounced it. But keeping the Capitol safe is not the point of Pelosi's illegitimate select committee.
President Biden said the Western Hemisphere should be the most democratic hemisphere in the world as he addressed the fourth CEO Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles on Thursday. Biden talked about the importance of collectively preparing for the next pandemic-type crisis.
The economy of the future will increasingly belong to those who place a premium on resilience and reliability.
The Justice Department has announced it's opening a sweeping civil rights investigation into the Louisiana State Police amid mounting evidence the agency has ignored or concealed evidence of police brutality against mostly black men, including the deadly 2019 arrest of Ronald Green. The federal probe is the first to be launched against a statewide law enforcement agency in more than two decades. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eight trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Carl Bode reports in TechDirt that antitrust and telecom experts warned that a Sprint and T-Mobile merger would result in layoffs and higher prices. Now that the merger is approved and the number of major U.S. wireless services have been reduced from 4 to 3, employees are being laid off and consumers are paying higher prices as predicted. T-Mobile almost immediately laid off more than 5,000 employees after the merger was approved. Now, over the last few weeks, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile have all raised costs to consumers. The telecoms are passing the price hikes off as fees and blaming them on everything except reduced competition. For instance, Verizon increased the administrative charge it places on millions of user wireless bills from $1.35 to $3.30. Quote, to be clear, this is not a price plan increase for consumer lines, unquote, a Verizon spokesperson told Fierce in a statement. Quote, from time to time, we review and make adjustments to fees to defray some of Verizon's administrative and teleco expenses and costs of complying with regulatory requirements. To that end, Verizon Consumer will implement a change beginning in June, unquote. AT&T also raised rates from $6 to $12 a month on different mobile service plans. T-Mobile also raised its upgrade and activation fees by $5. And if all three telecom services are raising rates, what is a poor customer to do? Change carriers? Read more about this story at TechDirt. And read more radio news at wavefarm.org.
Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Howie Hawkins, Green Party nominee for governor in New York State in 2002. He's run for governor three times previously and gotten the party official ballot status. But we're talking to Howie because, you know, the state changed the law to make it much more difficult for third parties, especially independent third parties, to qualify for the ballot, needed this time around to get 45,000 signatures, three times as much as it was previously. And it appears that the head of the Democratic Party, Jay Jacobs, Nassau County Dems and State Dems, has challenged not only Howie's petitions, but all the third party petitions. So Howie, what's going on with these challenges here?
Well, it's clear the Democrats don't want competition, particularly from their left. I mean, Jay Jacobs, the chair of the Democratic State Committee, he pushed to increase the ballot access requirements as part of a public financing commission that was set up to implement public campaign finance. Changing access to the ballot was not their charge. And they did, you know, the legislature basically gave them the right to write a law, but in court, the court said, a commission can't do that. The legislature's got to do that. So that was the end of 2019 and early 2020. So in April 2020, when the legislature is only meeting virtually during the COVID lockdown, former Governor Cuomo, with Jay Jacobs cheerleading, attached a ballot access bill, you know, we call it the ballot access exclusion bill, to the state budget package. So it had to pass, and it, you know, it passed without scrutiny. It was just sort of announced a few days before it happened. And so now New York has the hardest ballot access petition for, you know, governor that we can find, not just in the United States, but around the world. I mean, the nearest hardest petition I've been able to find is in Putin's Russia. And if you want to run for the highest office from an oblast, which is like their states, it's the representative to the state Duma, which is like their Congress. And that's 15,000 signatures in 45 days. We now have to get 45,000 in 42 days. The old New York standard was 15,000 in 42 days, a little bit harder than the Putin standard. But we've, you know, drafted a bill for the state legislature to bring us back to the pre-2020 standard, which was difficult, but not crazy like what we have now. And I'd tell these legislators, we just want to get back to the Putin standard. And they'd chuckle and they'd say, you're right, but you know, the Democrats we talked to didn't want to stick their neck out before the election and get the governor on their back. So we don't have a bill introduced yet. So that's, you know, one of our goals right now is to get back to a more reasonable ballot access standard.
Now, the Green Party, Libertarians, I believe the Working Families Party, you know, had all filed various lawsuits, you know, challenging the ballot access changes. They particularly went into federal court, but it does not seem, at least at the federal judge here in these cases, have been particularly sympathetic that this is an unconstitutional restriction on, you know, First Amendment right to association and free speech.
Yeah, that's been the case so far. We have a case jointly with the Libertarians that at the district level, the judge ruled against us in a pretty infuriating decision because the opinion had its facts wrong. And we pointed out, but apparently the judge didn't read it or comprehend it. So we're on appeal. The hearing may be in the fall, but I'm not counting on the courts to do justice here. I think we really got to get legislation. I think that's our safest bet.
Now, I think at the high point, you had about 5% of the vote. And I should mention, I've been active in supporting your campaigns in the past. But, you know, why should the average voter or even the average, you know, activist, you know, be concerned about the fact that the Democrats are, you know, basically making sure that no one other than the Republicans get the right to run against them in elections?
Well, the average voter, according to the polls, over 60%. want more options on the ballot. They want a viable third party. And, you know, the Democrats are making it so you just have two choices. Now, the fusion appendages of the major parties, like the Working Families Party and the Democrats and the conservatives and the Republicans, means you have four ballot lines, but only two candidates. And that's really not much of a choice. We should have a multi-party democracy. So the average voter already wants that. And then activists, particularly progressive activists, I mean, how are they going to vote for the New York Health Act for a state-level Medicare for All plan? It's very popular. The Democrats said if they got control of the Senate, they would pass it. They did that in 2018. And since then, it hasn't even got out of committee. Or for public renewables, having the New York Power Authority have the authority to build renewable energy generation so we can accelerate our move toward clean energy and address the climate crisis. I mean, these are progressive alternatives that you can't vote for if the Green Party's not on the ballot. So progressive activists should certainly be concerned about this, because otherwise they're going to have a choice between a corporate centrist at best, Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, and a Trump-loving extremist, Lee Zeldin, for the Republicans. You know, where are progressives? They don't have an option on the ballot. So they should be concerned about this.
Now, where does your candidacy, you know, go from here, particularly the Democrats? You know, the reality is with requiring 45,000 signatures in 42 days, it's pretty impossible for anybody to actually get that, especially with all the restrictions and technicalities that one has to meet. So, you know, what does the Green Party, what does Howie Hawkins do at this point?
Well, I think we push this bill. You know, the 42-day deadline or period in which you can petition is pretty unique. I mean, most states, if they do have a limit on when you can start, it's many months or even years before the petition is due. Most states have no limits. So they have a petition signature requirement, but you basically, you know, have a lot of time to get it. Here, we got a frantic 42-day chase, which is a real problem. Where we go from here is we keep pushing that ballot. And, you know, if we are successfully knocked off the ballot, we're talking about running a writing campaign that will feature these democracy issues, not just ballot access, but the other things that will create a multi-party democracy: ranked choice voting for the statewide offices and proportional ranked choice voting, so we get proportional representation in the state legislature. So that's ranked choice voting in multi-member districts. We have a democracy crisis. We know the Republicans are attacking voting rights, and they're setting it up so they can steal elections by getting control of election administration in about 20 of the states. But in states like New York, as well as Nevada, Arkansas, some other states, the Democrats are suppressing the vote by suppressing the Green Party. And we know that most Green Party voters wouldn't vote if we're not on the ballot. We know from the 2015 presidential election exit poll that 61% of Jill Stein's voters would have stayed home if she wasn't on the ballot. So, you know, Democrats get all self-righteous about what the Republicans are doing, but they're doing it themselves in a different way.
Now, we have about 90 seconds left. You mentioned, you know, the Democrats didn't deal with New York Health, didn't deal with public power, but, you know, how would you rate the recently concluded, you know, legislative sessions on issues that you and the Green Party are raising in 1 minute?
Pretty low. I mean, there was a dozen climate bills, a couple of them the least consequential passed. New York Health Act, you know, healthcare, housing issues. There was a good cause eviction legislation that didn't pass, not even on the radar, is something we want, is an expansion of public housing and have a state authority, because the federal government limits the amount of public housing so that everybody has an affordable housing option. Criminal justice reform, reform for immigrants. There was a whole slew of progressive legislation, and the Democrats have a supermajority in both chambers of the legislature, but they didn't get it done. And, you know, I said they couldn't get it done. The fact is they chose not to get it done. And that's a problem.
So Howie Hawkins, Green Party nominee for governor, you got a website?
Yeah, our campaign website is www.hawkinsmatera, one word, matera.org. And Matera is spelled M-A-T-T-E-R-A.
Thank you very much, Howie Hawkins. And this has been Mark Dunlay for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you.